You are listening to WRCE 1450 AM, W299 CD, Richland Center.
Start your day off on the right foot with great local programming on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE.
On our morning show from WRCO, we're talking about some great things happening in the Richland School District today. Steve Board was here yesterday, kind of setting the stage for all the things going on here now that we're into the second semester. And we're here to talk about a few of the common things that come up, including screening for the young members of the district. And also, first of all, we're going to talk about a special event that is going to be going on soon. We're joined by Michelle Lewis, title reading at Richland Center Intermediate School, and Kathy Maloney, title math at Richland Center Intermediate School. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to have you in here today. Michelle, it was a year ago already when you were here talking about a special event, and you're back to talk about that a little bit.
Yes, so we're having our second annual RCIS St. Patrick's Day 5K. It's a run walk. A lot of people get nervous about it because they don't participate in these events, but you can run it, you can walk it. There's even a good turnaround point if you don't want to do the whole 5K because it's 3.1 miles. So, yeah, we're excited to do it again.
Tell me about last year's. Was it a success?
Yes, last year the weather was awful, but we had about 65 people sign up. Some people didn't end up showing up because it was like 20 degrees and very windy. But this year I am confident that the weather will be better. And we're just excited to do it again.
Yeah, I remember last year thinking that, oh, maybe they'll cancel. And you didn't. People still
showed up. No canceling.
So this is awesome. Now, was this the second annual?
Second,
yep. Okay. Mm-hmm. And tell us about the course.
So it's going to be a little bit different this year. Last year, we crossed at the stoplights, and the police department wasn't extremely excited about that. So this year, it's going to be on the bike trail, and then we're going to turn right and keep going up and then go kind of around like the Ramada area. So you stay on the sidewalk. It'll be super safe.
Okay. Yeah, it will be. And well done. By that time, and what time of day is it again?
The event... So registration starts at 4:30, and then walkers will start at 5, and the runners will start at 5:20.
So it'll be daylight still at that time.
Yes, it will be.
Uh huh. Mm-hmm. Well, that's awesome, and hopefully some great weather this year. It's a special one this year, isn't it?
It is.
Did you dedicate last year's to a certain cause or individual?
No, last year the money just went to the PATT, the Parents and Teachers Together organization. But I'll let Kathy talk about this year's event.
Kathy.
This year's event goes towards, it's a split between the Lance Maloney Memorial Scholarship and Community Players of Southwest Wisconsin.
Okay.
So we are doing a split between the two. As many know, my son Lance died on April 6th of last year due to aortic dissection. So he had a hole in his heart, and... So we lost him very tragically and suddenly, and so this year Michelle came up with this fabulous idea of doing this, and so we're excited to do this.
And Lance participated last year.
He did.
He did the 5K.
He and I did it.
Bundled up and everything.
My goal was not to be not to be first across the finish line, but I certainly didn't want to be last across the finish line. And we finished. He timed me, and I said I wanted to be done within an hour, and he timed me at 58 minutes.
All right.
So I made it.
So a couple of things that were near and dear to him, especially you talk about acting and being on the stage and everything. So some of the money will go in that direction, Kathy.
Yep. And yes, Community Players of Southwest Wisconsin became part of our family because of the support from them. And so we want part of the money to go to them for their programming. I know that the shows the coming this summer and this fall have been, as far as in Community Players, we know what they are and we're excited for those. And I'm excited that we can help with that and help bring that to fruition, because Lance loved the theater. He adored it, and that was one of his pastimes. And so we also want to do that.
So. Yeah, he was so good at it, that's for sure. Never saw that guy with a frown on his face, you know?
Never. He held a lot of things, and we very rarely, as mom, dad, and his sister, didn't see that often either. He and his friends, that was one of his biggest legacies that he left behind, is that people said that they never had a crossword, that they didn't think that he ever had a negative thought towards anyone, and that now I know different, but as his mom, but Lance is just, we miss him immensely, and I know many people in the community and in our family do, but he left quite the legacy, so we want to continue that legacy with that, with the scholarship as well. So
tell me about the scholarship and who would possibly apply for the scholarship.
Well, the scholarship will be $2,500 scholarships this year. It will be the application is going out this week. And it is my hope that those that have, those high school students that are graduating that have been involved in band, choir, and theater are going to be the recipients of those. Lance's priority in school wasn't always his grades. While GPA will be considered, that isn't my priority. But his priority was that he loved choir with Miss Kintz. He loved band with Mr. Jeff Behrens, and he loved theater. He was under the direction of Michelle Goebel many times, and he loved his theater, and both community and locally and in high school. And so that's just something where we're going with that.
Oh, that's awesome. So participation would be the key for somebody applying for it then.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I understand, Michelle, that this is it's not a set cost to be involved in the race. Is that correct?
No. So last year we had a registration fee. This year it is free to sign up. And then people can donate either ahead of time by writing a check to RCIS PATT, or they can just show up with cash, or they don't have to donate, but we just thought doing it for free this year more as like a family fun event and a community event would be a good idea.
Pre-registration, or can they do it the night of the event?
We would prefer pre-registration because we do want to have goodie bags for each participant. But if you show up and you're not pre-registered, we will definitely welcome you.
That's awesome. As long as we have you here, we would be remiss if we didn't talk about what you do, during, you don't always organize walk runs, So you are the title math teacher, Kathy, and that probably has to really make you hone your skills because you're teaching all different levels during the day, aren't you?
I do. I teach 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th graders all about and reinforcing their math skills. It is typically for those kiddos that are struggling. And so I do some intensive work with for a 30-minute gap a day, and I get to help them. And a lot of times it isn't just their abilities, it's their confidence. And so building confidence and math, math has a stigma that it can be a negative thing, ironically. And so getting past that, even in that math isn't as horrible as what we think it is sometimes. And so it's getting past that and helping my kiddos to just feel good about their abilities.
Do you have any young Phil knees that say, why do we need to study math?
I do, Phil. And and then I tell them that, and I show them a life skill of why we need to do this. And I just did this with fractions the other day with some of my 5th and 6th graders. So, yes. And so we were working with that and talking about why it's important.
What grades do you have then, Kathy?
I teach 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 6th grade.
Okay. And that is a wide range. That was about the time when my kids passed me with math skills, Most parents probably get passed about that age, don't they?
Probably. Yeah. Yeah. Some of my 5th and 6th graders, I have a couple that say, You need to help me. My mom says you're much smarter at math than I am. And so I have a couple that do that, and I'm happy to help them. So it's great.
Michelle, tell me about title reading and what you do.
So I also work with third, fourth, fifth, and sixth, and I focus mostly on phonics skills just because a lot of students have big gaps in their phonics skills. Up in fifth and sixth grade, we do some vocabulary and comprehension, but I have mostly third and fourth graders working on a lot of phonics skills. I, you know, have had students who come into me and they don't know all their letters and sounds as third graders. And so when they're in their classroom, they cannot keep up with that schoolwork. And it's amazing sometimes, like mid-year, just to see the growth. You know, I have a student who came in, the student didn't know even how to recognize her name on a name tag. And now she is working on, you know, vowel teams and what we call sneaky E and just a lot of skills that it's so cool to see when they get that one-on-one or, you know, a small group instruction, what that can do for them.
And reading is, that goes along with all the other subjects, doesn't it?
Yes, it's very important. So when they are missing some of those skills, it's just really important that we get them the instruction that they need. And a lot of them, we see the growth. The hard part is when we aren't seeing the growth, and then we have to, you know, talk and communicate, okay, what do we need to do next? And we have all these different tiers, and there's a lot of different rules about intervention, but it's, I love it.
And I'm guessing, too, that when the light bulb goes on for a student, that's when your job is the most rewarding, isn't it?
It is. It is the most rewarding. And we do a lot of assessing. So on Friday is a lot of assessment work on what we've done for the week. And a lot of times I'm running over to the other title reading teacher, Ms. Clements. I'm like, look what the student did. And it's just, it's really cool to see the growth when it happens.
Home run. Yeah, I understand the three of you with Ms. Clements, you have like, you sing sometimes. You're not going to this morning.
Kathy?
Right?
No. Definitely not.
Not this morning. We'll get her back sometime, and you guys.
Yeah,
can.
It's mostly Kathy. She does the singing.
I can't imagine. So the school year is going by pretty quickly, isn't it, Michelle?
It is. Yeah. I feel like it's going to be spring break before we know it.
Mm-hmm. Second semester is
it goes
underway.
Fast.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any other special things you'd like to talk about in your department? Anything coming up this spring, or any other things other than your run walk? Do you have any?
We have a title event coming up.
Mm-hmm. March 6th on Wednesday night, we have a title event that we're going to be doing and talking more about, hopefully. But it is going to be at our, we're going to be doing during the day, they'll be at each school, be at Richland Center Primary School, and we'll be at Richland Center Intermediate School having a presenter. And so then he will be also doing a presentation that evening as well.
Okay. So that's coming up down the road. March isn't too far away,
no,
is it?
No, it is not.
So again, we just want to get the word out about the PATT St. Patrick's 5K Run Walk held in memory of Lance, Lance Maloney this year. And I think it's going to be a good event. I could see Lance laughing about this one, too. You know, maybe saying, Lance, you're going to run this one or something, maybe.
Well, and one of the things is Laura laughs as his best friend and sister. She was getting messages last year because she could not walk it. She had an injury, and so she couldn't walk it with us. And so she was at a station that Michelle had her at and was getting messages from her brother. As he's walking and pushing me along, she was getting messages. Boy, I could walk a lot faster if I wasn't pushing Mom along to keep her going. But yeah, we just miss him so much.
Yeah, I know. In terms of the walk race, so it's a good thing, Michelle, that she points it out. I mean, you don't have to be like this fully trained walker runner. I mean, it's for all ages, all abilities, isn't
it? And it's for the community. You don't have to be involved, have a child in the school. You can be anyone in the community that wants to sign up and join us.
Great.
Well, even Mrs. Amy Hardy from primary as principal did it with her pups last year. So yes, she was part of it with us. So.
And they didn't complain too much then, the pups?
No.
Sounds good. Well, thanks for coming in, ladies. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
Good luck. Keep us updated on your event. So Michelle Lewis and Kathy Maloney joining us here on this portion of the morning show. We're going to talk about screening now as we switch gears on our morning show from WRCO. That's next. Thanks to our first part guests, Michelle Lewis and Kathy Maloney, for being on the radio with us. And we are really blessed to have a whole staff, a whole team here from the Richland District, including Principal Amy Hardy, 4K teacher Lisa Stafford, early childhood teacher Dawn Morris, and speech language pathologist Sarah Nelson joining us. I believe as principal, that means that Amy has to go first here today.
Good morning.
It was a year ago when you were here talking about this very topic. Have things changed much since last year in terms of things that you're looking at or anything like that for screening?
We have had a few changes, but overall it will continue to roll in the same capacity it did last year. We have our screening taking place for the district March 18th through the 21st, so that Monday through Friday. We do want to remind our families that we have already enrolled with us and that are coming to school throughout the week now, that during that week, because of screening, there will be no early childhood or 4K classes. So our current students do not attend during that screening week because those classrooms are used for screening, as well as all the staff will team together to welcome our new visitors coming in for screening and their families.
Will the students be sad that they don't have class?
Well, of course. They'll be sad they aren't seeing their teachers and the staff and their friends.
I'm sure at that age they probably really are.
Yes, truly. They will probably be wanting to come to school. Yes.
How long does each screening session take place, Amy?
Each screening session lasts an hour and a half. And the whole idea of this day is to have a special experience for the child, you know, with the focus on them. Each child is important, and we really want them to feel special this day. So a parent or parents are able to join for the entire time. There is paperwork that we'll have the parents work on while the students are doing the screening. But each of the time slot is an hour and a half, so we do have four sessions that families can sign up for.
Okay. And those times, what times?
8 to 9:30, then 9:30 to 11, then 12 to 1:30, and 1:30 to 3.
What can parents do in advance? Are there some things they need to do beforehand?
Yes, they can go ahead. Our district has implemented an online process for registration. So parents can go to the school website or to our district Facebook page and register right there. If for some reason they're having any problems or experiencing any challenges with the registration or have questions in general, they are welcome to call the primary school at the 608-649-HIVE. Which is really 4483.
If someone misses it, somebody comes in down the line, do you do a private screening then a little bit later on?
We can, and that's really individually based and looking at schedules, because other than this week, these same staff are teaching. Mm-hmm. So it's a matter of looking at schedules to coordinate that. But yes, so we really encourage everyone that this is the week for that screening, because this is when the time is devoted. But by all means, you miss it, your family is not able to be in town during that week, or, work schedules just do not make it possible. And that's why we reach out and we're having this conversation and trying to share with the community a few weeks out so people can alter their work schedules or make plans to have this happen for their little one.
We move to Lisa Stafford, who is a part of the screening. You've done a few of these over the years, Lisa.
I have done a few, yeah. It's always a super exciting time. I always feel tremendously blessed that I get to do what I love every single day, and to welcome the new students that we're going to have next year is always an extra exciting time.
So at what age are we looking at the screening to start, or what they should be bringing their kids to school?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's really important for our families to know. So often they think of, 4-year-old kindergarten, but it's really important that we have all children who are going to be 3 or 4 by September 1st of 2024, that those are the students that we want coming to our screening. We have opened our screening process the last couple years to include younger children with the focus of an importance of early intervention for these youngsters, if there are any concerns.
Yeah, one of the things that we talked about in the previous section with Michelle was, you know, some possible, you know, that's where you might be able to pick up some sort of learning disability and things like that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. The goal of screening is to identify, of course, each child's strength. But there's also the possibility that we are identifying areas of concern. The areas that we're looking at where we would seek areas of concern would be that of communication, their language, their vocabulary, how all of that is developing, their gross motor, such as hopping, jumping, running, fine motor, cutting, coloring, how they're holding whatever type of writing utensil they're using, and problem solving and their social development areas.
So do you just kind of turn them loose and kind of watch them play then and kind of take notes, or what do you do?
You know, a little bit of both. It is a play-based screening. That's really important. These children are little. If they're going to be three by September 1st, we have to keep in mind that means they're about 2.5 years old when we're seeing them. So the majority of our students that we are seeing are 2.5 to 3.5 years old. We use a special screener that is very play-based. It's a one-on-one situation with a teacher and a child. There is another team in there, so there's another child in there as well. We allow for some interaction to see how that happens, but they're playing with dollhouses, playing in a sensory table all along while we're asking questions. So we really, really want it tailored to the level that they're at.
Do they hop and skip like we used to?
They do.
Do they?
Yeah, they do. They have to hop. And again, the screener is really very developmentally based on their age by months. So some of them are asking to jump. How far can they jump? What, you know, they're hopping, throwing a ball, catching a ball, all of those types of things. So it's really fun to watch.
Fun stuff. I'm guessing there are some children that are apprehensive when they come in the building, and that's probably part of the process, too, is to kind of make them feel a little bit relaxed and more at home, right?
It is. It is really nice. You know, over the years of me being involved, our screener has changed a lot, not only the way we do it, but the tool that we use. And I remember years ago, we were all in the library, which was then Doudna, and we were just in there, and they just went from station to station, which we thought then was great, how we were doing it. But it's really nice how we do it now, because the children and the parents are coming into like our 4K and our early childhood classrooms, so they get to see what the classroom is like, and the kids are just, they get really excited to see the classroom and all of the fun things that we have.
I bet they do. Dawn Morris is here as well. Dawn, what are some things that typically take place during the screening?
Okay, so one of the things that take place is that all the children get a vision screener. And we're really thankful that our Lions Club provides that screener. They bring a special camera. The child sits in a dark room on a chair. They think they're getting their picture taken, so they're pretty excited to smile, you know. And what that camera is really doing is it's taking a picture of their eyes, and it's giving us information and information that the parents will receive, whether or not they passed that vision screener with the camera or whether they failed and they need to have further testing of their eyes done before they come to school.
For most students, that's probably the first time they've had their eyes and vision.
Absolutely. We have parents, when we conference with them later on after the screening, that say, oh, we didn't realize that there was anything wrong with their eyes, because, you know, they look at things, you know, close up, because little children like things closer to them to feel it and experience it, so they don't realize that there's a problem.
Tell me about the questionnaire that you typically fill out.
Okay, so the screening tool that we use is called Ages and Stages, and it's a screening tool that assesses all the children's levels and according to their age. So like Mrs. Stafford mentioned, is that if it's a two-year-old child, it's going to be different than what a three-year-old child is getting for the screening tool. And what we really like about it, it is involves the parents. It has parent input. And we know from experience as being in education that the child's first teacher is really their parents. So that's why it's important to have that parent input. We encourage the parents to fill out the screening tool ahead of time and then bring that packet with them so that we can use the same one and we check for those skills that the parents checked for. And then at the end of that whole screening experience with the child and playing with them and asking them the questions and doing the activities with them, them. We go and we get the parent and we sit down and have a conference with them. And we go over what the parents, how the child did with the parents and how the child did with us. And we compare it.
And they get a swag bag, right?
At the end? That's the most important part, right? The child gets a goodie bag. And what's so exciting about it is there's fun things in there, you know, colorful things. There's books in there that they can share with their families. And then they can all read together and experience that.
That's awesome. The family that reads together, that's a real bonus, isn't
it? Yes,
it
is. Sure. Yes, it's very important to teach many skills to their children while they're reading.
Anything else you'd like to add about what we've just talked about here?
No, I just look forward to seeing the new children and having them come to that fun week.
That's right. And again, that week is coming up in a few weeks, March 18th through the 21st.
Yes. So
time goes by. It won't be long.
It's soon.
Sarah Worrell joins us here as well. Oh, I said her maiden name, didn't I? It's only been 25 years. Sarah Nelson. How dare me. Welcome to the broadcast, though, today.
Good morning, Phil. How are you?
I choked you up. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I just haven't heard that name used in so long. It took me by surprise.
Talk about the components of screening and from your aspect.
Absolutely. So Dawn talked a little bit about the ages and stages questionnaire. And as Lisa talked, you know, the tool that we have used has definitely changed multiple times over the years that all of us ladies have been doing this. But one reason we really love the ages and stages questionnaire is because it really looks at all the areas, the whole child. So as Lisa kind of described a little bit earlier, it takes into consideration five main components of their development. And one of those is fine motor skills. So just to kind of give parents an idea, that would look at their skills like cutting, copying basic shapes, how a child colors, are they able to draw lines, and even drawing people. I think all of us would agree that it's really eye-opening when we conference with parents that they don't realize that these are skills that their kids that are only 2.5 to 3.5 should have. So, one of the other areas is gross motor skills. Like Lisa touched on a little bit, we want to look at their physical abilities, how well they can jump, climb, throw things, catch. And we think about those when, you know, the kids are on the playground, how important those are. Obviously, the next one is the area near and dear to me, language skills. Is your child able to use age-appropriate words and sentence length? Can they answer some basic yes and no and WH questions? Another area that the ASQ looks at is behavioral and social skills. That really kind of looks at, is your child interacting with other kids appropriately? Do they have a good attention span? And as Lisa touched on, we really like having two teachers in a room, each having a child, because it gives us the opportunity to see how that child is going to interact with another child. We give them opportunities, like she said, to play on the carpet next to each other. You know, do they go up and interact with each other, or do they just play next to each other, which is what we would call parallel play versus interactive play, where they're actually talking back and forth with each other. And the fifth area of the ASQ is cognitive skills. So obviously that's what people are going to think of as kind of those pre-academic skills. Things like, you know, does your child know some basic shapes? Can they identify and name colors? Are they starting to count rote or objects? And can they follow 2- and 3-step verbal directions?
Looks like some of the same things when we hire somebody at WRCO, actually.
Yeah, so there you go. There you go.
So it's, again, play-based, as Lisa mentioned for you.
Yeah, it definitely is. And as Lisa touched, we love that. I think it is really good for us. I think it really helps that child, like you talked about. Sometimes we do get kids who come in and are very apprehensive, and we're more apt to get them to come with us when it's like, come on, we're going to go play. We're going to go play for a while. And when we're done, we'll come get mom and dad and let them know how you did. And a lot of times that's all the kid needs, to just feel comfortable. And they come in and they're ready to play. And it's just, it's really a win-win for both of us. So it makes them feel comfortable. And, you know, all of us just really want their first experience to be a positive, fun learning opportunity. And we really just want kids to be excited about school. And I'm sure my team agrees with me. I would say we're very successful in that aspect, because so often our biggest issue of the day is kids don't want to leave. So they think, I came to school and I was screened and I am starting now. So
It's interesting how every student is different. And I mean, we all have our strengths, even as adults, and skills. You might have a student that maybe their language skills aren't that good, but they're very good with the motor skills or cutting or whatever the case might be, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And that is so important. And we really try when we conference with parents to let them know that, you know, maybe your kid's skills in this area are a little behind, but they're really excelling or doing great in this area. And if they end up being behind in a couple areas, you know, that's where we end up making a referral for, you know, if it's only a speech and language concern, we would make a referral and have them further evaluated by myself or one of the other speech and language teachers in the district. And if they're having delays in two areas, they would be a referral for the early childhood program and see, you know, where those skills fall and if they need further intervention.
I think kids are also excited about seeing the bus.
Oh, yeah.
You show them that or not, but that's always the big thing. Like, hey, there's a bus.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
So they can see it all. We'll come back and wrap up our conversation about the upcoming screening in the Richland School District right after these words.
If you're looking for quality fresh cows and two-year-old heifers, you need to head to the Richland Cattle Center Wednesdays at 11:30. This week's auction includes from Sauk County a complete merchant herd dispersal and a few close heifers.
45 head of homebred and raised Holsteins, AI breeding for generations. From Lafayette County, 14 head of organic milk cows, 10 milking and bred back, and 4 are dry. 5 head of registered identified milking shorthorns, 2 two-year-old bulls, a Patriot out of an 86.2 year old dam, and a Comanche from an 87 point, top milk and protein yearling heifer, and 3 milking recently fresh cows from the same herd, plus the weekly run of fresh cows and 2 year olds, milking and bred back cows, springing cows and first calf heifers, bred heifers, open heifers of all ages, and a breeding age bull along with baby heifer and bull calves. For up to date listings, visit stadieauction.com and don't miss the Richland Cattle Center sale at Ithaca every Wednesday at 11:30.
WRCO 100.9 FM, Richland Center.
News Time today is sponsored by Boscobel Pharmacy and Center Pharmacy, your full-service pharmacies caring for you and about you, and by BL Signs. Today's forecast calls for a high of 44, partly cloudy and mild conditions, a few clouds and chilly tonight, a low of 26, and a high near 50 on Tuesday. Right now in Richland Center, it is 19 degrees.
BL Signs of Richland Center has grown significantly, helping other businesses grow. In the last decade, businesses of all sizes have trusted the team at BL Signs, from developing ideas to get started, to creation, installation, and reliable service afterward. BL Signs' promise of projects done well, done on time, and done on budget comes with the experience and knowledge to turn your sign into one of your most important investments. Visit BL Signs of Richland Center online at blsignage.com.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Phil Nee. Here is what you need to know. New COVID guidelines from the CDC are expected soon. People with mild symptoms will no longer have to isolate for 5 days. Ajay Sethi is professor of population health sciences at UW-Madison.
People should still isolate if they have significant symptoms, and the CDC will recommend that. But if their symptoms are mild, if they don't have a fever without any medications to assist with that, they can go about their normal day, normal lives, and not have to isolate for those 5 days, which is the current recommendation.
Sethi says the new recommendations expected in April will shift more of the burden to protect oneself on those people who are at higher risk for severe disease. Look for new guidelines coming up in April. Discouraging youth vaping in Wisconsin. That's what grants from the Wisconsin Department of Health Services will do. The agency said in a recent release that it will be awarding 13 grants of over $800,000 to community organizations statewide for anti-vaping initiatives. The funding, which comes from a settlement from the vape company Juul, will be used for community and school-based programs to prevent vaping and help teens and young adults up to age 24 quit. The money will also fund research on vaping prevention and ways to decrease access to or the use of vape products.
Crawford County Land Conservation District, Mississippi River Regional Planning Commission, and Crawford Stewardship Project will host an informative event coming up on Sunday, February 25th, from 3 until 5:30 at Seneca Schools. Join them for an afternoon of presentations and discussion about the current situation and opportunities for local municipalities said to understand and work for communities' vision for the future. Presenters include John Bingle, Mississippi River Regional Planning Commission, Phil Muller, Utica Township Supervisor, Dave Trester, Crawford County Conservationist, along with Lisa Dorr, Polk County Citizen Advocate and Farmer, and Dr. Steve Oberle, an agroecologist and former county conservationist. A Q&A session will be held along with discussion. Refreshments will also be provided. The Wisconsin Division of Transportation is planning to make improvements on County T bridges over the Wisconsin River between Port Andrew and Blue River in Grant and Richland counties. This project will include replacement of the two bridges. Pavement approaches will be replaced, updated guardrail and pavement markings. Construction is anticipated for 2027 with an anticipated closure of 2 years. During construction, County T will be closed and detoured utilizing Wisconsin 60, Wisconsin 80, and Wisconsin 133. Those who are concerned about the closure of the construction area are advised to write to Senator Howard Markline at Post Office Box 7882, Madison, Wisconsin 53707 by Monday, February 26th. The Small Ruminant Webinar Seminar is coming up, researching driven solutions to popular sheep production issues. It also connects sheep and goat producers to useful tools, techniques, and tricks of the trade, and tips from the field. Learn from experts and other small producers like you. Webinars will be hosted by Carolyn Eady, Small Ruminant Outreach Specialist, UW-Madison Division of Extension, and Iowa State University Extension and Outreach. Webinar will be held via Zoom at 7:30 Wednesday. Lamb and Kid Care, the first 72 hours, will be presented by Roselle Bush, DVM. Up to 50% of all pre-weaning lamb and kid deaths occur in the first 24 hours after birth. This webinar will cover the common presentations for sick kids and lambs within the first few days of life. Participants will discuss practical methods for triage to increase the likelihood of a positive outcome. You can learn more and register at gowisc.edu/4R468. Give the gift of life today. You can save up to 3 lives by becoming a blood donor at the American Red Cross Blood Drive today from 1 until 6 at the Laval Fire Department. Additional blood drives will be held this week on Wednesday from 11 until 4 at Weston High School and Friday from noon to 5 at Don Larson Superstore in Baraboo. Appointments can be made for any of the blood drives by using the Red Cross Blood Donor app, visiting redcrossblood.org or calling 1-800-RED-CROSS. That's 1-800-733-2767. Assembly lawmakers passed 3 bills last week that would protect judges in the state. One bill would establish privacy protection, the judges' personal information from the public, while another creates a new penalty for those who protest outside a judge's home in order to interfere with the administration of justice. The bipartisan legislation comes over a year after Juneau County Circuit Judge John Romer was shot and killed in his home by a man he had sentenced to prison.
The Boscobel Pharmacy and Center Pharmacy has exceptional caring staff and great services. They are a locally owned, independent pharmacy, proudly serving the surrounding area communities. The Boscobel Pharmacy and Center Pharmacy is committed to helping patients manage their medications. The pharmacists work along with patients and their healthcare providers to find an individualized plan to help each patient maximize the benefits of their medications while minimizing or preventing adverse effects, interactions, costs, and waste.
Today's high temperature will be at around 44, partly cloudy and mild conditions. South to southeast winds at 5 to 8. Tonight, a few clouds and chilly, a low of 26. Tuesday, partly sunny and spring-like, a high of 49. Wednesday, 54 with partly sunny skies and very mild, and a high of 50 Thursday before a high will reach around 35 on Friday. Right now in Richland Center, after an earlier reading of 23, we are down from that. It is 19 degrees.
Choosing to bundle your auto and homeowners coverage isn't just convenient. It can save you money. Hi, this is Julie at State Farm. On top of the monthly savings when bundling auto and homeowners, our agency can help you select affordable coverages and price options just for you. It's what we call the personal price plan. How do I start bundling? Well, whether you call, email, or drop by the office, talking to the Julie Karen State Farm team is the first step to discovering how much time, effort, and money you could save by bundling your auto and homeowners coverage. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Coach Johnson would love to spread some health and hope this month. In honor of Valentine's Day being the 14th, I'll provide 14% off this month for those who place a new order with me. You can reach out on Facebook or contact me at 608-604-7751. Others took advantage of last month's offer, and that group is down over 100 pounds already. Are you ready to lose weight, maintain, or add muscle? Our program can help. You know me. I love to coach. Contact Coach Johnson today, have an informed conversation, and get 14% off.
Sports Time is sponsored by the Homesteader Store, Southern Wisconsin's tractor experts. Coming up, a look at a busy high school sports week in Southwest Wisconsin and details on a record-breaker all-star game.
Kubota has the industry-leading VX Series subcompact tractor. Hi, this is Rick from the Homesteader Store. VX Tractor is a real tractor in a small package. It is diesel-powered, four-wheel drive, hydrostatic transmission, power steering, allowing a novice to operate it like a pro. It can have a loader, mower, backhoe, and three-point attachments. Kubota has various rebates and great long-term financing. See the full line of Kubota products at the Homesteader Store, Highway 14 East, or at homesteaderstore.com.
Over the weekend, high school wrestling sectionals were held at various sites across the state of Wisconsin, with a state individual wrestling tournament happening this very weekend. Wrestlers headed to state in our immediate area, River Valley's Wyatt Knockreiner and Richland Center's Emma and Ethan Haiti, along with Teague Perkins. From Riverdale in Division III, Riley Wanick, Brody Meese, Grant Matthews, and Lakota Brewer. And from Ithaca Weston, Nolan Waldner. We'll begin coverage on Thursday night on FM 100.9 from the annual State Individual Wrestling Tournament at the Kohl Center. And boys basketball pairings were released yesterday. The WIAA Boys Tournament begins 1 week from tomorrow night. And among the pairings in the first round, the Ithaca Bulldogs drew a fifth seed. They will host number 12 Kickapoo on the opening night. The winner of that game plays either number 13 Weston or number 4 North Crawford in the next round. Highland, a seventh seed, will host Wazika Steuben as well in their part of the bracket. And in Division 3, that is Division 4, it is Riverdale, a ninth seed, playing at number 8 Iowa Grant, and number 5 Lancaster is hosting number 12 Fenimore. Also in Division 3, Dodgeville will be doing battle at Mauston. The Dodgers, a ninth seed. Prairie du Chien, a fifth seed, will host number 12, Evansville. Richland Center drew an 11th seed. They will play at number 6, Viroqua, in the first round. At number 7, River Valley will host Madison Edgewood, which was rated 10th in the seeding. Games going on tonight. River Valley will be at Mauston in boys basketball. A few games in the Ridge and Valley, including Kickapoo at DeSoto, Wazika Steuben at North Crawford, and Weston at Seneca. Merrill's Mindoro at Viroqua, Bangor at Cashton, Hillsboro at Royal, Wanewoc Center at Nisida, New Lisbon at Brookwood, Westby at West Salem, Dodgeville visits Barneveld, and Wisconsin Dells at Platteville. Bucks guard Damian Lillard is the first player to win the three-point competition and be named the most valuable player of the NBA All-Star Game in the same weekend. Lillard hit 11 three-pointers in Sunday's game, good for 39 points in the Eastern Conference 211-186 win. There had been controversy when Lillard was named to the starting lineup because he is having an off year. at least by his standards. Lillard joins Seth Curry, also Kyrie Irving, Glenn Rice, and Larry Bird as the only NBA players to win both honors, but he is the only one to do it the same weekend.
It's definitely one of those things where people are going to look at the game and say they don't play defense, and some people don't take the competition serious, you know. But for me, it was just a break from the season and an opportunity for me to just be successful at something, you know, just something to go after. And in a three-point shootout, me and Bees was, you know, talking trash back and forth. But I came in and I was like, I'm coming to win again. And, you know, sometimes you just got to give yourself some type of edge. And it was a different thing from being with the team. It was just something else that I could do, you know, to get myself going, even mentally. So that was my mentality with that. And even tonight, I was just like, I'm going to come out. I'm going to be aggressive. I'm firing. And, you know, we're going to see where it goes.
Elsewhere, Ohio State stunned number 2 Purdue in its interim coach's debut, winning 73-69 a day after the NCAA Tournament Selection Committee picked the Boilermakers as an early number 1 favorite. And NASCAR postponed the season opening Daytona 500 until today because of 2 days of rain at Daytona International Speedway. The race had been scheduled for Sunday afternoon, although the weather forecast put that in doubt all week. Final practice for drivers was canceled Saturday.
Our morning show get-together continues. We have the team from the Richland School District here today. Joining us as well, Principal Amy Hardy.
For the Amy,
it's a big time. It was a big transition. And I know with especially that first child,
that's an update.
Sometimes it sounds a little emotional time for parents, isn't it?
It certainly can be. You know, these are your littles. This is your baby. Whether it is your first, which is a brand new experience to go through, or it's your last, and it's your last. But either way, we want to make sure this is a special event for you and your family and your little, as we welcome you to the school, as because this is their very first. It's your child's very first, and we really want to focus on that child for that day. And so we do have our registration happening online for our Richland School District screening taking place March 18th through 21st. And that online screening and registration does stay open until 10 a.m. on Friday, March 15th. And in between, if you really want to be able to have your choice of days and times, I would say go ahead and register sooner than later. And you can do that by registering right online at our school website or going to the district Facebook page. And if you do experience any challenges, by all means, please get a hold of the primary school office at 649-HIVE.
Has it been a good school year this year?
It's been a busy school year. Mm-hmm. Lots of smiles, lots of celebrations, lots of learning, which is all of those things are true every year. And every year it's a little different just because we have different children in the school, you know, and we have the great fortune of having a pretty constant staff team to work with. And with that comes lots of great experience and talents. It has been a good year.
The better weather, I had to wonder if the kids were getting a little squirrely, you know, thinking it was spring.
Mother Nature messes with us at the same time as she blesses us. So it does make a difference. Unfortunately, the grass areas aren't so good. And so that means limited space some days for where our students are playing. Otherwise, we would have lots of mud in our building for our janitorial and additional clothing to go through. And one day we actually ran out of a lot of certain sizes because they were so full of mud. So, you know, Mother Nature has taken a spin for us. Flip side, it sure is nice not to have to put on all your gear.
Oh, sure, sure. You know, but how important is that takes. Getting out there in that fresh air? That's got to be so good.
It's important for all of us.
Yes, it is.
Not just our students, but our staff as well. You know, to go feel that sunshine, get that fresh breeze, and get moving a little bit. That is important. And so we do try and have that happen. The only time it doesn't really in our building is if it's misting or raining enough that an umbrella should be popped, or it's below zero with wind chill. Otherwise, we're out.
And luckily, you haven't had to worry about the below zero too much this year. Maybe
no, once. We've only had a few days in.
Yeah.
So that's been nice.
It's a good thing. Absolutely.
Yes.
Lisa, anything that you'd like to add that we talked about earlier?
Yeah, I just wanted to let parents know that there is our school nurse will be available during screening week, and the school nurse will help us prepare for the upcoming school year as children are assessed for their wellness during the visit, and parents or caregivers can share any medical concerns that they might have. We do want parents to know that if at all possible, they should be bringing their child's immunization records and their child's birth certificate as they get to start enrollment to our wonderful district.
Okay. So be looking for that in advance.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And then also we're excited to have community programs available. So while their child is screened in a play-based screening setting, parents are in a room filling out paperwork, as Mrs. Hardy said earlier. But they are also can receive information on community resources that we have for our young children, such as like Richland County's Birth to Three program, our Head Start program, and other additional community programming that are going to be there, just to have information for parents. We have a lot available in our community, and we want our families to know what there is.
Does the district have 3K then, or
we don't
with 4K?
Right, we don't have 3K. We have 4K. As Sarah Nelson was mentioning earlier, you know, we want to catch the strengths of these students, but if there are, you know, maybe any little holes in their development, we have a program called our Early Childhood Program that Mrs. Dawn Morris is one of the three teachers that we have, and that is an early intervention. So as Michelle and Kathy were talking about intervention at the intermediate school, we start with that very early intervention with our early childhood program.
Dawn, anything that you would like to add this morning?
Yes, I would like to mention, because I talked about the ages and stages questionnaire, that parents or caregivers will receive that screening tool in the mail, or it is also available online once they register their child for screening.
Okay. And take us through what parents can expect that day then. Is it kind of based on, like you mentioned, stations, but different rooms and things like that?
Yeah, parents come in and they register. There's a secretary that's sitting right there at the entrance of the school. It's a different entrance that they'll come through. And I think that's all explained when they register. And she will check them in and she will show them which room they can sit in. They'll have some paperwork they have to fill out, like for the school nurse enrollment form. That's why we need the birth certificate. So while they're filling out the paperwork, then the teacher that is coming to get their child will introduce themselves, talk to the child, talk to the parent, let the parent know what's going to be happening, that they'll take their child away and play with their child and do the same ASQ that they filled out as well. And then it'll take about an hour to an hour and a half, and then we'll come back with them and they can stay there at the school and wait, the parents can, and we'll come back, and once we take the child to a play area, we'll come back and get the parent and conference with the parent.
Okay, so that explains it pretty well. Sarah, anything that you'd like to add?
I guess just to follow Dawn, when conferencing with the parents, if there are areas of concern, we would make those referrals. If there's not an area of concern and the child is going to be four by September 1st of that following year, and we feel that, you know, their skills are ready to be in 4K, we do offer in our district two different programming options. So our 4K program has one section that is all day Monday and Wednesdays, or they can pick the option of all days Tuesday and Thursday. And when we conference with parents, we do ask them, you know, if they have a preference to those based on work or daycare options. They certainly can let us know at that time. And if they don't, we'll just be sure to place their child in one of those programs.
So they're all day, but just depending on the day then?
Correct.
So,
yep.
Okay, good.
Absolutely.
And in terms of language and communication, you know, parents probably shouldn't be concerned that much, you know, I guess if they're 2.5-year-old isn't, you know, I mean, is everyone different, or are there some things to look for?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think people would really be surprised what's expected of kids already at that age. But yeah, I mean, and I feel that's part of our job, in the screening process too, is educating parents as to what their kids should know by certain ages. So, you know, sometimes kids may not have enough of a delay that it needs to be further tested, but their child might be a little bit behind for age. So that's our, you know, job to kind of say to parents, okay, here's a list of what your child should have by the age of three. And I think parents really appreciate that, to be able to take that and go back and say, all right, these are some things I need to work on. And it's so easy. We say to parents, whether you're reading stories, you know, have the child name pictures in the book, ask them questions. When you're at the store, have them name things. It's just really, really, you know, talking to your child.
No doubt about it. You got a great staff here, Amy.
We are certainly lucky to have them as a district. And this is just three of them. Mm-hmm. So think about many. Wow. Mm-hmm. I just want to add a few tidbits. I know Mrs. Morris had mentioned, you know, coming in or where the door would be. We will have it well identified with some flags out and some signage so families know, as well as we will have some parking spaces designated in our north end parking lot to make it easy, you know, in and out for our families and as convenient as possible. But we certainly are looking forward to the day. Another piece I did want to let people know is that the forms are in English and Spanish, as well as we will have people available to help with translating as that week goes, if that's a need.
Okay. Anything else anybody would like to add? Open mic here.
We look forward to meeting our new families and new students that will be coming. So it's a really exciting time. Of course, we miss our littles that don't come to see us that week, but it's exciting to see what next year is bringing.
I bet.
It is. And I would just say, if anyone's listening to this, parents, caregivers, and you're not really sure if you should or should not sign your child up, absolutely call the school. One of us would be more than happy to talk with you and kind of help guide you as to whether or not you should sign your child up.
Great. Well, thanks for all you do. I know you're like rock stars to these littles. They see Mrs. Stafford at Walmart and they think it's Taylor Swift or something, you know. So you guys are like rock stars. So thanks for all you do.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate you coming in here today. Joining us on WRCO, Principal Amy Hardy, 4K teacher Lisa Stafford, early childhood teacher Dawn Morris, and Sarah Nelson, speech language pathologist on The Morning Show.
Welcome to Pratt Chat. Pratt Chat is a service of the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service of Richland Center in Muscadet. Join us each week for a conversation with Mark Jelinek of the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service for answers to questions that we're all hesitant to ask. Pratt Chat is sponsored by the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service. On this edition and series of Pratt Chats, we're enjoying the opportunity to reminisce about the long history of the Pratt Funeral Service, 135 years being celebrated this year. Mark, you kind of took us up to the time where the funeral service then found its home here, where it's remained ever since. But even though the building stayed the same, there were a lot of changes along the way, weren't there?
There were a lot of changes. So the outside structure of the funeral home is the same, pretty much everything else associated with inside the funeral home has changed. How we're set up, we still have the same birch pews from 1953 because we really like them. We think it really kind of gives it that church chapel feeling, which we enjoy as a funeral home, and we believe the community enjoys as well. It just kind of gives it that homey feel and makes people feel comfortable with that. But in 1953, the funeral home was finished here on the corner of Court and Park. In approximately 1954 or 55, the Lunderschloss Hansen Funeral Home Furniture Store purchased them. And a lot of people in Richland Center didn't even know that the funeral homes were the same. You know, different people ran them, but they were actually owned by the same company.
And the Pratt name remained, didn't it?
The Pratt name has remained. So in the fun history of today, the corporate name of our funeral home actually is Lunderschloss Hansen Corporation. And everything is done under Pratt. The name has just, we've kept the corporate name, but the working day-to-day name is just, it's Pratt's. And everybody, I think, around knows it as Pratt's. Lunderschloss Hansen is kind of that fun, remembering kind of that trivia game of, you know, do you remember Lunderschloss? So there's a history there, which Carl Lunderschloss then merged with Mart Hansen, so it became Lunderschloss Hansen. And then Mart Hansen sold it to his nephew, Howard Hansen, so he ran it up until his retirement in 1984. So the funeral homes ran separately, even though they were the same. and Pratt stayed where it was at, and many changes happened over the years. So once Bill Truesdale came in, he was here for many, many years, and Bill Truesdale actually was the gentleman who taught Dewey Houston, kind of took Dewey under his wing when Dewey started here. Many people in town remember him, which as time continues to go, it's kind of funny because people will still ask, well, is Dewey still here? But you always forget with time. Dewey retired, I think, 22 years ago. So when I started, Dewey was kind of, I was here, Dewey was kind of on his way out. So Dewey was kind of my mentor as we came in. So it's kind of this, we mentor as we go through. So Dewey was mentored by Bill Truesdale. And then following that, Rick Umbehound came in as well. Carl Hansen was here. So Carl Hansen actually started over with Lunar Sloss Hansen working in floor covering. He then came over to the Pratt Funeral Service, worked here for many years as well, kind of an associate, did a lot of maintenance, helped out a lot at funerals, did a lot for the funeral home. So he came over here, and those gentlemen were all here until probably the early 2000s or so. They all kind of retired in about a 10-year period, but they were here for many, many decades.
Today's Pratt Chat has been sponsored by the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service of Richland Center in Muscadet. For answers to the questions you have, call the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service at 608-647-4808 or visit prattfuneralservice.com.
You are listening to WRCE 1450 AM, W299 CD, Richland Center.